Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And what a week. What a week. So much is going on in our own church, in our own community, as many of you are aware. And there are so many situations that are taking place in our lives that other people aren't aware. So there's a lot going on. And then just on a national level, just a lot going on. And now as we look across the planet, there's a lot going on. And I've been wrestling and kind of just praying and leaning into how to approach today. And we had a plan in place in regard to taking some time to pray, which we're going to do that because we end a prayer and fasting week. And so we wanted to make sure we take this Sunday, take some time to pray. And how many were able to be a part of Friday night prayer and worship night? A whole bunch of you. We had a beautiful time of just praying together and worshiping together. And I've just been praying, and if you have your Bible, go ahead and jump right in. I want to jump right in today, and if you want to turn to Psalms 120, we've been living in these 15 chapters of Psalm 120 to 134, and I want to read in Psalm 120, there's a couple verses. We're going to start in verse 1 together. It said, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." How many are glad when you cry out to God, he hears you? And then go down to verse 6 and 7. "Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." I was reading these verses, and it's a moment where we're crying out to God, and he's hearing us. But it's also a moment where we long for peace. We long for a settledness in the land, but yet there seems to be this pull of an uprising and pull to violence and a pull for war. You know, it's been quite the week, and coincidentally, it's been a week of prayer and fasting. Michael Lechleitner came up to me and said, "Isn't it wild that this, with all this happening in the world, and this happened to be prayer and fasting week?" And I said, "Yeah, if it wasn't prayer and fasting week, it would have became prayer and fasting week." It's one of those situations. I have lots of thoughts are circulating in my head, and of course, opinions, but at the end of the day, my heart is mostly sad. And grieving and in shock, confused, and just got a lot of emotions going through. And I don't think I'm alone in that space. And also, the other part of me is just seeking God. God, what do we do now? What's the direction? And even though my heart is heavy, I do feel a strong sense of resolve and even more a laser focus, where my focus is becoming more specific and more laser-like. Just in the last week, you know, we had this situation in Colorado with the shooting, in the school shooting, and, you know, that's, sadly, we're getting too used to that. And that's, when that happened, that is a message to all the hundreds of millions of kids that go to their schools, and they have this thing in the back of their mind, what about my school? And then you have what took place up in Charlotte, just up the road from here, with Irina getting stabbed on a train by somebody that had the most darkest, intrusive thought you could have. And she represents millions of people, if not hundreds, if not billions of people that are looking to start a new life. And then you have what took place in broad daylight, an assassination of Charlie Kirk, who is a voice for hundreds of millions of people. And he fought for things that were vastly important. So those three alone, and that doesn't even touch what's happening in other parts of the world. Those are just three that are just weighing heavily. You know, on a human level, this is a dark moment. And it's okay to acknowledge that. It's okay to say, yeah, this is not the brightest moment in the human race. In fact, it's dark. You know, it's obvious our culture is broken. There's a decay. There's what feels like just a constant decay taking place. This isn't the first time, but it is our current reality. And like I said, in the midst of this moment, I just feel this strong sense of resolve and focus. A couple of months ago, I was invited to go to the White House and with a bunch of faith leaders, about 60 of us from all over the country. And I probably knew about a third of them, and the others I did not know. Some really beautiful people just representing different houses of faith around the country. And the whole goal was to gather faith leaders in the White House to go through a White House briefing, which is about 2.5-3 hours long. And then there's some other activities that we did as well. And it was my first time. I had never been invited. And so it was like, yeah, I'm going. I don't care who's president, I'm going. And I'm just intrigued by what's behind those walls, you know? And so I went and I flew up and sat in this 2.5-3 hour briefing. And it was very intriguing. It was actually very helpful for me just to understand the landscape of politics and understand at least the heart and the vision behind what we see and hear and read, which is so convoluted with so much opinion. And so it's just very, very difficult to kind of get some sense. So it was nice to kind of get behind literally the walls and hear different leaders do their best to with their initiative that they're passionate about. And it was about 3 hours of this, and it was just department after department after department just coming in, giving us faith leaders just what they're trying to do in this current administration. And this one department, I don't think he was the head, but he worked in the department. And if I remember correctly, it was in the area of terrorism and just all the danger that our nation, the threat that our nation is navigating on a 24/7, 365 cycle. And in the moment, in the middle of his briefing, he had like a 10-minute stretch. He made this comment. He said, "This is quite the moment for prayer." So today, I want to recycle that phrase. This is quite the moment for prayer. This is quite the moment for prayer. On Friday, I posted this video on my Instagram just sharing just the heaviness and inviting all of us and anyone to come join us here on Friday night for a time of prayer and worship. And, you know, there's a whole world called DMs. And one was very thoughtfully and kindly, but was calling me out for not mentioning Charlie Kirk's name. And I'm like, okay. And so I went back to watch my video, and I said it right there. And so I wrote the person back, and I said, "You should rewatch the video." I watched it twice. I said, "You should rewatch the video." And this person rewatched the video and replied, "I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed. I didn't hear it the first two times." And what that tells me is emotions are very heightened right now. It's very hard to hear. It is very hard to understand because emotions are heightened. And then someone else slid into my DM and was frustrated that as an influential leader, I'm not talking about what the church needs to be talking about. And so I replied, okay. You know, what do you do? My wife was like, "Why do you reply to these people?" I don't know. I just feel inspired. These were very kind responses. I'm not telling you about the other ones, but I'm like, I feel a little bit of my mom rise up in me. I'm like, oh, yeah? It's kind of fun sometimes, you know? Like, eh, I feel my mom. I'm gonna represent my mom. Anyway. I wrote back, I said, okay. And then the person instantly replied, "I'm so sorry, the emotions got the best of me. I'm just passionate to understand, all good." And I just want to just say as a blanket statement, emotions are heightened right now. And I believe we have the opportunity to bring peace into situations and diffuse things instead of responding to the heightened emotions of what's happening right now and the people we're sitting next to and what's happening around the country. Instead of looking for ways to escalate it, let's find ways to diffuse it. And I believe that's what we can do as followers of Jesus. It doesn't mean we step to the back and do nothing. No, we still engage, we're still active, but we can diffuse it in the process. There's more options than escalation. You know, it's these cultural moments have sadly become too regular for us. They cause us to be scared, confused, angry, sad, and some it's just numb. We all have different responses, you know. We are meaning-making machines. We're looking to understand why. And so what we tend to do, we move into blame, we move into accusation, we tend to move into these conversations, and at the end of the day, we just hurt. We just hurt. And I think it's good for us to be aware that when we're hurt or scared, that what we do out of that can not always be the most beneficial. You know, as I sift through my own thoughts and opinions, I was kind of just processing. Last week, we talked about unity grows where pride dies. And just the timing of that talk, and I want to just kind of continue that into today in regards to, we actually have, I'm not going to put it lightly, we have a mandate from heaven in moments like this. This is not where you shrink back, this is actually where you engage. Now, how you engage is a whole other conversation, which hopefully you've been here long enough to know that our heart is to engage in such a way that brings healing, brings restoration, brings wholeness, brings peace, and brings advancement of what the kingdom wants to see take place. You know, in this moment, there's that magnetic pull right now. It's almost irresistible to get engaged into it's us and them. And I want to encourage you, you don't belong in that space. We don't belong in the space of us and them. If you think this is a left and right issue, I want to propose to you, it's much darker than that. It's much deeper than that. This is not a left or right issue. And I want to encourage you, this is about darkness that is trying to come in. And you might want to personalize it and personify it, but avoid that. Understand, this is the battle of darkness. And so avoid, my encouragement is to avoid getting pulled into the conversation that are limiting it to it's a left and right issue. Those are important, but they're the greater issue that you and I can engage with right now. So I want to propose some things of how we should respond in moments like this. The first thing we should do is turn to prayer. Prayer is the first thing we should be turning to. There are so many stories in Scripture where you see how people responded, and the ones that are beautiful are the ones where they turn to God and say, God, we don't know what to do. And I feel like that's a response that we should have as followers of Jesus. We turn to prayer because it's in that space we get aligned with his heart. We get aligned with where he's at. And it's our way of humbling ourselves in the midst of our cultural moment. And it allows us to come underneath him and for him to lead us. Many of you are familiar with the story in 2 Chronicles 20 with the darkness, the evil is coming at them, and Jehoshaphat said, time to pray, time to fast. And in those 3 days, God spoke clearly of what the strategies would be. And the story turned out amazing. And I want to encourage us, how do we respond to moments like this? It is we turn to prayer. I believe the two most powerful forces in the universe are the praying grandma and a praying church. Praying moms, you're a grandma. I mean, you're in there. You're a pre-grandma. You're right there. So it's... If you're a praying woman, it's the most powerful force in the universe. Sorry, guys. I don't know how that algorithm worked out in the kingdom, but the evidence is, the proof is in the pudding. But I also think a praying church is another incredible, powerful force. It's when the church rises up and pray. So I want to encourage us. In Psalm 121, I'll just read it to you. It says this, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where did my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. The second thing of how we can respond in moments like this is as a church, check in with the people around you. Check in with people that have different views than you. Check in with people that have different backgrounds than you. I've been in several conversations, actually more than several conversations the last week, and hearing different people's experiences, how they're experiencing this cultural moment. And as a leader, which is all of us, as a follower of Jesus, we have an opportunity to engage and create conversation and check in on people. You're not looking for agreement right now. You're looking for, okay, how are you doing? What's going on? And have meaningful, fruitful conversations. And be curious about each other's thoughts and opinions. How do we respond? Remember that we represent a kingdom that is above all world systems. We're living in a culture and a world system right now, but you and I are tethered to a kingdom that's above all of that, that is much bigger than that. And that's what it's not rooted in politics. It's not rooted in rhetoric. It's not rooted in culture. It's rooted in kingdom. So you and I get our source of strategy, encouragement, peace. All our motivation comes from that. And I want to encourage you, just look a little higher at what God is saying and doing, and you'll find that he actually wants you to engage. But how you engage, what you do, is very different than what cultures and how culture is telling us to engage. A couple more things, and then we're going to take some time to pray. Stay humble and be bold. Look at your neighbor and say, stay humble and be bold. And the last thing I want to say before we pray is this. Joy is our strength. And if it's not your strength, then tell yourself, joy will be my strength. And somehow, in the midst of this, God reminds us, joy is your strength. And so I want to just make a declaration to us as a church. If joy is not your strength right now, then joy can be and will be your strength.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.